godliness combined with contentment. For we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. It is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in this present age are rich, command them not to be haughty, or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Keeps his promise. This parable of Jesus is one of his most severe warnings to those who go carelessly about their own selfish and sinful ways. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Luke, chapter 16, beginning at verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that they may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "Well, they have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of our ever-living and ever-loving God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. One of the great wonders of the entire Bible, Old and New Testament, is the familiar passages. Passages like the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord's my shepherd." Passages like the parables that Jesus told, like the Good Samaritan. We've heard them year in and year out for a lifetime. And still, we can find something new. Something that just springs, that words that just spring out of the Bible, and they have a particular new meaning to us. That can happen to any of us. And that is why the Bible is always a living book. For me personally, I have been reading today's gospel about the rich man and Lazarus for nearly 50 years, believe it or not. Well, 49 to be exact, of my ordained life. And I've studied it for years beforehand. Yes, I know the parable inside out. But when I read it the other day, something jumped out at me that I had never thought of before in all those years. Yes, I know the parable was originally told to a group of Pharisees because they were lovers of money. And the parable was to warn them not to put their trust in their riches. But it's more than that, much more than that. It's all about noticing the less fortunate. It's all about caring about the marginalized and seeing them. It's also about how we prepare ourselves for the great day of judgment in relation to how we treat other people. Yes, I knew all of that. But the new thing that struck me, the words that sprung to life to me the other day, come at the very end of that story. Let me read them to you again. Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes from the dead, they will repent." And Abraham said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." If they do not listen. And it's that word listen that jumped out to me the other day. And when I thought about that, I realized that the whole of the Bible was full of examples of listening. In the Old Testament, we have all of the prophets. We have Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, the four major prophets, and the 12 minor prophets. They all scream at the people, "Listen, O my people, listen. Take heed to the word of the Lord. Listen." And the gospel, and in the gospel passage, Jesus ends several of his parables. And as I've alluded to, most notably the parable of the sower, Jesus ends by saying, "He who has an ear to hear, let him listen." Mark chapter 4, verse 9. And Jesus ends many of his parables in that particular way. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up boldly before the crowd and he begins preaching. And he says to them, "To you who are Israelites, listen. Listen to what I have to say concerning Jesus of Nazareth." Acts chapter 2, verse 22. And at the end of the Bible itself, the book of Revelation, as we call it, the author, John the Divine, begins by writing letters to each of the seven churches. Those seven churches were founded by St. Paul himself, the churches of Asia Minor, now modern Turkey. And at the end of each of those seven letters, he says, "Let anyone who has an ear to hear, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." Every letter ends with those words, "Listen, listen, listen." Now, that got me thinking. Sometimes I do that. I know it can be dangerous, but sometimes I do. Lending the listening ear is something that I feel society today falls short of. Not only listening to the scriptures, but listening to one another. Yes. How many times have we said to someone, "Oh, hello, how are you?" without really meaning them to tell you very much about themselves? I know I've done it, and I suppose you have done it as well. It just seems to be something that trips off the tongue. The world is a busy world.